Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Wow, seeing so many sisters, it scares me. I've never spoken to so many sisters all at once. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. This morning, we want to talk about minister life. We want to talk about abiding in the Lord. Well, last night, I got some inspiration. First of all, from Brother Marty's speaking, he said that, you know, throughout the year in the recovery, we have seven feasts. And he said that conferences are for God's move. Right? Did you hear me? The conferences are for the Lord's move. So as such, we need to take heed so we will be in God's move. Right? So the words that are spoken in the conferences is not for us just to know, but for us to enter into it. And that's why Brother Minoru, in message 5, he says, we need to practice. So, dear sisters, we want to encourage one another. We get into this word and we practice. Get into the practice. Last night, as I was thinking about this matter, the Lord's move is to bring him back. How many of you love to have the Lord's come back?
Amen.
How many of you pray for the Lord's to come back?
Amen.
So we need to pray, and we need to get into it, and we need to practice it. That's why last night Brother Livingstone says, at the end we need to have an upper room consecration. Right? Consecration ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
That he may come back.
Amen.
You know, at the Lord's table, I always enjoy this matter. After we worship the Lord for a while, and I always remember the Lord's command. He says, this do in remembrance of me till what? Till I come.
Amen.
He is coming.
Amen.
So as we worship the Lord, praise the Lord at the Lord's table, we are eating the Lord, remembering the Lord, drinking the Lord for his coming back.
Amen.
We tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Come back, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I really want to say one more thing about your speaking about the overcomers.
Yeah.
Overcomers are no more Christians. No more. Because everyone else is abnormal. Is that right? So we need to be no more Christian day by day. Living by the Lord. Abiding in him, let him flow out from us. Amen. Okay, so let's get to the open to the outline. Amen. Lord Jesus. Let's read the title of the message together. I have 1 hour, right? I need to stop it. 11:20. Yeah. Okay. I have my watch here, but don't trust me. I'm not good at this. I always run over. The saint says, hey, Brother Simon, this time is over. Okay. All right. Let's read a message title together.
The increase of Christ being for the increase of the church by ministering
Let's repeat this. By minister what?
Life.
To whom?
Others.
Light to others.
Amen.
Later we're going to talk about who those others are. Okay? According to the law of increase. There's a law of increase. Amen. Okay. First, Roman numeral 1. All together. Amen. Brother Mark Robbie, who shared this message at a conference, he said, this he is not capitalized. It's not Christ will give him life, but you will give him life. Well, you say, how can I give him life? Right? Well, we are not the source of life, brothers and sisters. No, sisters. We need to abide in the one who is the source of life.
Amen.
Amen? Without abiding in him, there's no way that we can give life to people. And actually, we are not life. We are just the source of life. And we are connected to the Lord. Abiding in the Lord, life will flow out.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Because of time, and some of the places I like to tell you some stories. So I may skip some outlines statement, but don't worry, okay? It's there. It's all there, okay? Okay, under Roman numeral 1, at the bottom, there's 1 and 2. Can we have this half of the sisters read number 1, and the other half of the sisters read number 2, okay?
We have the privilege of giving life to the weaker ones in order to swallow up their death. This is a matter of life and party in the fellowship of the divine life.
Amen. This side. Number 2. Amen. You will see this matter got repeated over and over again throughout this message. He said, we must abide in the divine life and walk and live and have our being in the divine life. I maybe messed up my sequence, but I still like to share this. You know what is to abide in the Lord? John 15, the verse that we pray read. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. What does that mean? The footnote. The secret is go to the footnote. The footnote says, abide in me. This abide means to what? Or maybe not this for no, another for no. It's to stay and remain.
Amen.
In the Lord. Huh? Abide in me. To stay and to remain. Okay, the way it goes like this. We are, Christ is in us, right?
Amen.
The Lord is in us. And furthermore, not too many Christians experience this, that we are in the Lord. Right, Katie? We are in the Lord, Emily. We are in the Lord.
Amen.
So, our job is to abide, to stay, to remain. One time I read Romans chapter 8. He said, you are not in the flesh. I said, what? I'm in the flesh all the time. Huh? You're not in the flesh? He said, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, because the spirit of God dwells in you. Indeed, the spirit of God dwells in you. John 14:20. I love the verse. He said, in the day of resurrection, you will know that I'm in my Father, you in me. Listen to this. You in me. And I in you. Brothers and sisters, sorry. When we walk around, walk anywhere in Chicago, in Ohio, in Columbus, wherever you go, just think about this. I am in the triune God.
Amen.
I'm in the Lord.
Amen.
Well, recently, I'm getting all out of the sequence, but that's okay, huh? Last weekend? The college conference. The brothers serving in the campuses says we need to help the college students how to have a personal time with the Lord. So I was charged to share two sessions, Saturday morning and Lord's Day morning. And Saturday morning, you were there, huh? I just wanted to share with them that we are in the Lord. So what do we need to do to stay there? Don't let your mind wander. Right? What do you do to stay in the Lord? By breathing in the Lord.
Amen.
That's why I appreciate it. Calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I appreciate it. Singing.
Amen.
And I appreciate it. Praying.
Amen.
And I appreciate it. Opening my being to the Lord all the time. Last night, my wife and I drove in, and everything was fine until we got to Chicago. And I was just wondering, how in the world are we going to get to Chicago, get to the meeting hall? I got a little anxious. And then the Lord spoke to me, says, well, you told the college students to stay in a constant fellowship with the Lord. How about you? And I began to turn to the Lord and sing this hymn. And I just want to read it to you. Maybe I'll sing it to you. You can always also sing too. This is a hymn in the Chinese hymn book, but was never translated into English. It's a short hymn. It's a wonderful hymn. Let me read it to you, huh? He said, live in the light of life. Live in the light of life. If there's another syllable, you can say, to remain in the light of life. In constant fellowship. Dear sisters, we have such a privilege to stay in constant fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
Behold his glorious face, right? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And obey the Spirit's move. So each day, more glory gain. And each hour, rejoice and praise.
Amen.
Live in the light of life. And this is using the tune of the Comforter has come. To live in the light of life, in constant fellowship, behold his glorious face, obey the Spirit's move. Each day, more glory. Each hour, rejoice and praise. The light of life that describes our constant fellowship with the Lord. Right? Okay. So next time you walk down the Walmart and you get into the line that is so long, just sing this hymn. Oh, by the way, I was in Walmart one time. You know, Walmart, it's not very good in shortening the checkout line. So one time, I finally got to this cashier, and there was a long line behind me. And this cashier was smiling. I said, "What? You are smiling?" I said, "You must be a believer in Christ." And she said, "Oh, I believe in Jesus." And everybody could hear. Everybody behind me could hear. And she was happy, and I was happy.
Amen.
Amen. Minister life to people.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. I'm going to be in trouble. I know. Okay, let's come to Roman numerals 2. Let's read it together. Roman numeral 2.
In order for us to minister life to others, we must do at least 4 things.
Amen. What are the 4 things? We must do the 4 things. Right? Number 1. How about this side of the sisters?
We need an adequate contact with the Lord, simply to spend time with Him, listening to the Lord in His dealings with us, so that we may speak a timely word to sustain the weary ones.
This verse really touched me, that we may speak, what? A timely word. To sustain a weary one. We don't know how to sustain the weary one. We may have all the knowledge, all the experiences, but we don't know how to speak the word to sustain the weary one. And there's no other way but be connected with the Lord and spend time with the Lord. And sometimes, in my experience, that you have no word to say. Huh? When the saints come to you with a problem, with a difficulty that seemingly has no solution, you have no advice, you have no word from the Bible, you have no word from the ministry, what do you do? Huh? Call in the name of the Lord with your heart. One time, I was driving home late at night from Cincinnati. Late at night. And that Highway 71 was so dark. And I was just reminded this hymn by Amy Barber. He said, "I sink in the calm delight that thou art enough." Amen. However long the day.
Amen.
Remember this hymn? Yeah. Thou art enough. However dark the night. Thou art my God, the all-inclusive one. So I was enjoying that peace, huh? Oh, no matter how dark the night, you are enough. Thank you, Lord. Then I got the call. And a young couple, eventually both of them, got on the call. Said, "Brother Simon, we give up. There's no way out." So, I don't know what to say. So I just cry out with them to the Lord. And we pray read part of this hymn. Thou art enough. However long the day, thou art enough. However dark the night. And eventually, I don't think we solved the problem. But their heart was comforted. That was marvelous. And afterwards, the wife says, "Oh, that's okay. Thank you, Brother Simon." I said, "Oh, I didn't do anything. But we touch the Lord.
Amen.
Together. Sometimes we need to learn to cry with the one in need. Huh? We're always standing up, you know, a roof. What's your problem? Tell me, what's your problem? Right? No, no. We come down to their level and we pray with them, we cry out with them, and sometimes we weep with them and bring them back to the Lord who is the source of life. And they will get the supply. So actually, I was supplied too. Afterwards, I say, this long drive, 2 hours long drive. Oh, I'm almost home. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, B, let me read this, B. We must learn in the presence of the Lord to be dealt with by Him under His light. In order to bear fruit, we must deal with the Lord to be new, fresh, and tender branches of the vine. We must deal with all the hindrances to have a living, a bearing fruit. And we must deal with our natural disposition to become flexible in caring for people. And I talk about a college conference where I share with them about having a personal time with the Lord. The first morning, I talked about in constant fellowship with the Lord by breathing in the Lord. The second day, I talked to them about dealing with the Lord. Right, Katie? Yeah, by dealing with the Lord. What's the best way to deal with the Lord? Open to the Lord and repent and confess. I don't know if you remember in the old days, no, not old days, I'm sorry, in 1991, when Buddy started this perfecting training on the vital group. And he talked about this matter of the getting vital. He said he was with the brethren and full of knowledge, prophecies and everything, but yet inwardly he was dead. So the Lord rebuked him. You are dead. And what did he do? He said, every morning I went up to the mountain by my house and I just cry out to the Lord and I open myself, empty myself, and I repented to the Lord and I confess one after another. As the light shine, I confess. You know that the hymn you sang 267, in the chorus, there's one, the last line I love. Strip me wholly, empty me thoroughly. Huh? That your spirit fill me now. Brothers, we need to be stripped. We need to be empty that we may be filled with the Lord. Our problem is not really our environment. Our problem is ourselves. We need to be stripped. We need to be empty that Christ may live out from us. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Can I share a story?
Sure.
You know, I'm Chinese. We're Chinese, huh? So we appreciate Hudson Taylor very much. In fact, one of my grandsons, his name is Hudson. What? He's named after Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor, he was the founder of China Inland Mission. At that time, in those days, all the Western missionaries, very good, they went to China, but they all stay on the coastal area. And there are millions and millions of unbelievers in the inland China. Nobody went to preach the gospel to them. So Hudson Taylor got a burden to start this China Inland Mission. And he's a real godly man. Well, except for a period of time, he went through some hard times spiritually with the Lord. He said, Lord, how can I stay in constant fellowship with you? How can I get in? It seems like I'm out. How can I get in? He was trying all the way, all the time, to find a way in. He couldn't. So finally, one of his friends, his co-workers, eventually came to visit him. Am I telling the story correct?
Yes, sir.
And the friend told him, says, Hudson, it's very easy. He's the vine, and what are you? You are a branch. The branch is in the vine. Right? The branch is in the vine. You are already in the vine. What are you trying to enter? Enter to where? You are already in. And in fact, there's a hymn that says, not try to enter, go in, right? I'm already in. So that broke his bondage, broke his jam, and he enjoyed the Lord very much. So don't despise this. When you said, I'm no good. I'm just no good. Well, you are no good. That's true. Sorry. But the Lord has grafted us into the cultivated olive tree. We are now branches of the vine. And thank the Lord, we can fellowship with him all the time. Amen. Okay. And that's the prerequisite for us to live a life, to have the increase of Christ for the building up of the church. And it's not what we can do, it's what has already been accomplished by the Lord for us. We just need to remain and stay. Remember this, to abide means to remain and to stay. I used to think to abide is to try to get in somehow. No, it's to remain and to stay. Don't let your mind wander. Right? Forget about your mind. Remain and stay in the fellowship with the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, Lord Jesus. We'll see, right? Okay, now, how about all the sisters just read C only?
We must take up a burden to care for people, unbelievers, young believers, new believers, and meager believers. We must care for them as nursing mothers and exhorting fathers to be fishers of men and feeders of them.
Amen. I love those titles. Fishers of men and feeders of lambs. And at the very beginning of this point, we must pick up a burden to care for what? To care for who?
People.
To care for people. We love the Lord and we care for people. Well, I wonder if this is a good time to share that point. Or maybe it's something later. I don't know. Huh? Amen? Well, I thoroughly enjoy that point. That is, in John chapter 15, not only talk about we need to abide in him, but it also says in John 15, verse 16, the Lord says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you, and Brother Minoru says, that means set you as branches, right? that you may go forth. Go forth. To abide in the Lord is not to remain home, stay in your closet, to have a sweet time, me and my Lord. Huh? Right? Why is that? That's what the Lord wants us to do. To flow out. He came to this earth. He flow out himself first. And he wants us to flow out. Okay. Go forth. Here is footnote. Very correctly. Footnote says, go forth means to depart from where you are. You are sitting in your living room and there's a neighbor coming through. You just sit in your living room. I just enjoy my Lord. I'm reading my ministry. I'm reading my Bible. But there's a neighbor walking across. You need to depart from your place. Right? And go say, hi. Hi. How many of us are still saying, hi, how are you? We do? When I was in Southern California, when we began to do the campus work, at first I was afraid. I'm a Chinese old man. Whoever this 18-year-old want to talk to me? But I found out it's marvelous. I just say, hi, my name is Simon. How are you?
I'm good.
What's your name?
Livingstone.
Oh, good. Eventually, when I say hi, they say hi back to me, and they'll tell me their name. And then at that time, also, I was trainer for a team of trainees for the campus and for the young people. And the trainees, some of them have never preached the gospel while they were college students. So when it came to the training, especially coming to the campuses, and we told them, you need to go, just go preach the gospel. But they're scared to death. And some of the trainees told me, Brother Simon, 2 hours is awfully long time. And you know what's the solution? I told them, don't forget about preaching the gospel, this and that, get people saved. Just go out, make friends. Amen. Go make some friends. Amen. Then eventually, something within you, what you have enjoyed, eventually going to flow out. Amen. Right? That's what the hymn 922 says, right? Amen. So eventually, some of them learn the secret and the joy to talk to people, make friends with people, and eventually get them saved to be the brothers. Okay, now I'm reminded of Brother Andrew Yu's fellowship this last summer with the Chinese college students. He said, based on what Brother Lee did with the revival in Chifu. Are you with me? Brother Lee was once, was Chifu, then he came out to Shanghai, then went back to Chifu. At that time, he began to contact all the saints and contact the people, and there was a revival in Chifu. So based on that, Brother Andrew says, we need to establish proper relationship with the people. And listen to me, there's a word proper. Huh? And number one, proper relationship as friends. But make sure you have the word proper. Right? Don't be an improper relationship. Right? In a friend. And once they become brothers, that you establish proper relationship with them, minister life to them, cherish, nourish them, and when they become your partners, that's the third stage, and finally, they become the disciples of the Lord. Basically, this is a God-ordained way, church life, right? But the point he emphasizes is we need to care for people. Don't hide in yourself. Of course, in our natural man, in our disposition, we only care for ourselves. Who does not care for yourself? We all care for ourselves. But the Lord wants us to go forth. Listen to this word, brothers and sisters. Go forth. One time, there was a brand new one. A gentleman came to our meeting on the Lord's Day in Columbus. And he was sitting across from me. And after the meeting, I wanted to go talk to him, but he left already. So I did not get to talk to him. But I noticed there was a brother sitting next to him. So I said, "Brother, who is that brother? Who is the new one?" "I don't know. I don't know." Oh, Lord Jesus. I was so disappointed. This last week, I was in college training, a college conference, and I came back, and the brothers told me there's a new couple came. And not only they came, but also afterwards, many saints came up to talk to them. Oh, that make my joy full. Hallelujah. Maybe I can talk a little bit about Sandy and I. We have a neighbor. Oh, we have a lot of neighbors. I'm sorry, not just a neighbor. And we try to, ever since we moved in 2010, we try to establish proper relationship with all the neighbors. And they are brethren, they are Catholic, they are Messianic Jews, they are unbelievers, all sorts of people. Well, after a while, let me tell you, it takes long time. I think last night he said, "You pray for your mother for 30 years? Yeah. It takes a long time. So finally, after talking with them a little bit, I discovered that this particular neighbor, Tony and Kathy likes to read, and she seems to be a very good brethren believer. So I picked up the burden. I gave her a normal copy of Normal Christian Life. And I know Tony, he's, you know, outdoor man. He doesn't want to read. What? So I gave him an audio version of the Normal Christian Life. So shortly after that, Kathy ran into our house, said, "Oh, this book is tremendous. No More Christian Lies. That's wonderful. What shall we do next? Bible study?" She said, "Let me invite the whole neighborhood." And Sandy and I said, no, not so fast, not so fast. So eventually we ended up to her house. And she did invite some neighbors and her own daughters. I said, "What should we study?" "Oh, why don't you talk about the Spirit?" And I, after I began to talk, and I realized many of them are not even saved. How can I talk about the Spirit? So I began to talk about the human spirit, the mystery of the human life. Well, make the long story short, the next day, Kathy came to us and said, "Katie," that's their middle daughter, "Katie told us, Mom, it all makes sense now." I want to get baptized. And then her sisters want to get baptized. So three of them, they have a swimming pool. And I told the father, Tony, I said, Tony, you're a brother, aren't you? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, why don't you and I baptize them? But it's a long, long range, not a project, but long range effort to bring them all the way to the church life. They did come to the Lord's table. So, you're establishing proper relationship with people at work, people in your neighborhood, and especially many mothers. You have children, right? And your children has a lot of friends, and their friends has parents, and you get to know them, right? So there are lots of friends you can establish proper relationship with. And the time, the Lord will give you the anointing. Do something to speak to them, right? To minister life to them. Amen. Okay, I have only 22 minutes. Oh, Lord. Okay. Point number one. We are cared for by the brother, by the Lord, by caring for others in the Lord. Amen. If we water others, we ourselves will be watered. Amen. Is that true in our experience? Yes. Amen. And, right? And if we desire to grow in life, we need to help others to grow. B, the way to receive is to give. And the more we give, the more we receive. C, if we turn our prayer from merely ourselves to others, we will receive what we desire. Not ourselves. And then, two is that we have to be utterly spent and spend. That's what Paul, spend and utterly spend. That's Paul's word, right? He spent all that he has, and he himself is utterly spent for the believers. Then in number three, can we read number three together? Disposition. When I first came to the church life in Los Angeles, and my English was very poor. And number two, my disposition is I don't like to talk. However, our dear brother Lee won't let us go. He appointed two brothers. I think some brothers, Jiang Yuliki, is a huge, steel worker. And their mission is to make sure they help the college students to prophesy. You know, I was once a college student. So every time this brother had his eye on me for some reason. And we were always late, always sitting in the back. And he would come around, come to my place. In the middle of the meeting, when everybody was prophesying, testifying, Simon, prophesy! A function. In those days, a function. Oh, scare me to death. But I have no choice. You know, with this brother, huge brother, right next to you. What can you do? Our disposition needs to be saved, isn't it? Amen? And even some says, oh, I'm always so friendly. I like to talk to people. Well, not so fast. That kind of talk may not be ministering life, right? Amen? Okay. That means we need to spend more time, a personal time with the Lord. Okay. Then D, we must learn to be interested in people. Every day, the Lord's people must be our food. Many in the church need our shoulders to bear them and our breasts to embrace them in love. Okay, point A, that talking about listening, we need to listen, right? And point D, talk about interested in people. And in the early days, but still now, oftentimes I go back to it, the characters of the Lord's worker. You know what's the number one importance item of the character of the Lord's worker? You have to be eloquent, right? No. What does he say? You have to be a good listener. If you are not a good listener, in fact, in the leadership training, the brothers say the same thing, right? If you are not a listener, you don't know how to take care of people. And number two, he said you need to be lovers of man. Be interested in man. You know, after I was adopted, I went into the family of no children but me. So everything is me, me, me. I was so much self-centered. I don't care for people. I care for myself. Lord Jesus, we need to be saved from our disposition. Save from the self. Okay. And then Roman numeral 3, moving right along. Let's read this Roman numeral 3 together.
Everything in the
church must be in the nature of life. Let's read it again and emphasize those three words of life, okay?
Everything in the church must be in the nature of life, with the content of life, and in the imparting of life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And then A, he said, a currency in the church exchange is not dollars, but the divine life. The divine life is our only kind of merchandise. You remember the Lord sent in the parable of the talents, right? And he gave different talents to different slaves. What did he tell them? Do business. Right? You remember that? Huh? The Lord said, do business. And how do we do business? With what currency? What currency? Life. Amen. So, amen. So if you get that, then we're all set, huh? The church is altogether a matter of life because the church is the organism of the triune God as the body of Christ and is the vine with the branches. Our work, speaking, fellowship, service, ministry, message, Bible study, and prayer must be in the flow and imparting of life. And you receive.
When the branches of the vine receive a sufficient supply of life-giving spirit, as the life of Jesus Christ, they bear fruit as the overflow of the divine supply.
Amen. Now let's go on to Roman numeral 4. Together.
We need to follow the pattern of the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man, cherishing us as the Son of God.
go till 11:30. 11:30. You got 25 minutes.
Okay. Amen. So I would like to you sisters to help me to speak this portion. So when I say illustration one, and this side of the sisters will declare one. When I say declare, I don't mean just, you know. You declare it, okay? And then when I say two, this side of the sisters will declare two, okay? Illustration one.
Christ as the Son of Man, He came the Lamb of God to take away our sin.
Cherishing. Okay, two.
Christ as the Son of God, He came the life-giving Spirit to give life to us and transform us. Nourishing.
B, illustration two, one. Amen. Two.
Christ as the Son of God speaks the word of God and gives Himself as the Spirit to us, not by measure, that we may have eternal life.
Amen. Hallelujah. Illustration three. One. Two.
Christ as the Son of God, sent by God as a gift, gave her to drink the water of life, which springs up into eternal life, nourishing.
D, illustration four, one. People as the eternal gospel, cherishing two.
Christ as the Son of God was given authority by God to give the eternal life to His believers, nourishing.
Amen. Illustration five, one. The I Am
would free her from sin so that she would sin
no more. Nourishing. Illustration six.
God sent His Son as a propitiation for our sins in His humanity. Cherishing.
Two. Then the next 2 points kind of summarize all these things. He said, illustration of the entire New Testament is Christ as the Son of Man came to redeem us from sins. That's cherishing. Christ as the Son of God came to impart the divine life into us abundantly. That's nourishing. The illustration of Christ in eternity, Let's read it together, huh? As
the Son of Man, he is the ladder sustaining and maintaining the life union of all his believers with God.
Cherishing.
As the Son of God, he is the life element of the New Jerusalem, as the divine and human constitution of the consummated triune God and his glorified elect, nourishing.
Amen. Now, Roman numeral 5, can we read it together?
In order to minister life to others and recover the dormant saints among us, we must have the loving and forgiving heart of our Father God and the shepherding and seeking spirit of our Savior Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Mark Robbie, who spoke this message in the conference, he said, we never do this. Go to the dormant saints. We haven't seen you for a long time. Or, I'm really concerned about you. He said, never do that. If you do that, you just destroy the whole thing. Yeah, right? With dormant saints, it's not so easy. You want to contact them, and you don't want to push too hard, right? But you can never forget them. And my experience is, there are saints always in my heart. I can never forget them, right? I don't see them, but they are the saints in my heart. I pray for them. So I find whatever the opportunity I can. Oh, we're going to have a church picnic. Oh, how are you? Are you doing okay? Is your father doing okay? Because father was sick. And all these kind of things, if you can. And many times, I get response back. Oh, I leap for joy. I say, okay, let's get together. Can I go visit you? There's a brother we haven't talked to for a long time, and he's kind of wavering. And the other day I sent a text to him. I say, hey, brother, we haven't got together for a long time. How are you? I know you're a busy man. Can we get together sometime? And I was in a Bible study in Cedarville, and he responded, text me back. Oh, how about after November 16? And Sandy says, why are you doing your texting while we're having a Bible study? I said, okay, I'm sorry. But I was just overjoyed that he responded to me. Huh? Amen. Okay, we come to the final point. The increase of the church is according to the law of increase. And I think after talking so much, we all know the law of increase is not just to go after people, right? It's to minister life. And you yourself must abide in the Lord, stay in life, walk in life, and you are becoming a channel of life you can supply people. I'm going to tell you some stories. We came from Southern California. And some of you may know there's a big, hey, Chris, you know, right? There's a big mega church in Southern California. And this pastor is quite a guy. And he built the church from scratch. So there are thousands and thousands of believers, and many, when I was there, many of my co-workers, and when I was laboring at OCC, many of the students are members of the church. So I got to know a little bit, and for some reason, I got on his mailing list. So I was a senior pastor of the church in Huntington Beach. And so he would always send me the mailing. We have a a church growth seminar. Wow, isn't that what we want? Huh? Church growth. And he apparently, according to what I heard, he has all sorts of pastors coming to his seminar to learn how to grow their church. But actually, when they say church grow, that means the congregation grows. And they have this word that I never heard of before. They say, we are going after the unchurched. You follow me? You know, normally you would say, we're going after the unbelievers. But they're going after the unchurched. Doesn't matter whether you believe or not, just come to the church. And we have all kinds of entertainment and other things for you. And you'll be happy to stay. My goodness. Unchurched. We are not going after the unchurched. We are going after the unchrist. Those who have no Christ, we want them to receive Christ. Well, he has this book called the, you know, everybody knows about this purpose-driven life, right? But here's another book called The Purpose-Driven Church. And I happen to have a copy, and in it, and there's one point he said, if you want to grow your church, you have to make every member of your church a minister. Then they will automatically, right, give their effort, give their time to for the growth of the church. Sounds good, right? Isn't it like what Brother Lee said? All the members should function, not just the leading brothers, not just the pastors. Well, I was fool for a little bit. I said, well, maybe he got something. Until one day, he said this. He made one statement. You probably know this man called Peter Drucker. Yep. Peter Drucker is the guru of management in the U.S. business. I don't think he lives anymore, right? I think he passed. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. And he has this book called The Principle of Management. That's the Bible for management for the managers. I think I got one too. Well, this poor pastor, he said, everything I know, I learned from Peter Drucker. And Peter Drucker is an unbeliever. Even if he's a believer, he's more or less kind of half and half. And once he say that, he lost all my credibility. Huh? How can you follow Peter Drucker to grow your church? We can only follow Christ. Amen. Right? To gain more Christ. The increase of Christ is the increase of the church. For the building up of the church. We can never escape this. We can never deviate from this. Right? The increase of Christ. I think in the early years when I came to the church life, Brother Lee told us about God's heart. God's eternal purpose is Christ and the church. Right? Can you say it to me? Christ and the church. And let me tell you, I never propose to my wife. Well, maybe you can say this is my proposal to my wife. You know what I say? What we say? I say, she said, I said, Sandy, our marriage is for Christ and the church. And she repeated that. She said, our marriage is for Christ and the church. That is the best proposal. So young people, if you want to propose to your girlfriend, your fiancé, Christ and the church. Now, why am I so excited about Christ and the church? Because, you know, according to the ministry, the church is Christ. Amen. Nothing, if anything, that is not a Christ is not the church. So how do you get the church? By having Christ. He said, like Adam and Eve, it's a beautiful picture of Christ and the church. How did the Eve come into existence? God took something out of Adam. Something out of Adam and nothing else. You read your Bible carefully. God did not use anything else, just something out of Adam. And he built it into a woman. And then he brought this woman to Adam. And Adam says, this time it is. It's my flesh, the flesh of my flesh, and the bone of my bones. And that's Eve. Adam and Eve, Christ and the church. And the church is nothing but Christ. So the increase of Christ is for the increase of the church, right? For the building up of the body. Okay. And finally, I don't want you to forget this point. We need to abide in the vine, right? We need to be absolutely one with the Lord, one spirit with the Lord, in constant fellowship with the Lord. But don't forget this word. Go forth. Go forth, right? You all go out to preach the gospel. That's one way to go forth. Another way to go forth, it's get out of your seat. Okay, after I'm done. Huh? Can you get out of your seat and testify? Amen. Amen. Release your life, amen, which is Christ, to supply the body. Amen. Amen. Oh, these days I'm just filled with this matter of going forth. Amen. To establish proper relationship with people. Maybe they are friends. Maybe they are brothers. Maybe they are partners. Maybe they are disciples. Whatever the case may be, don't stay in yourself. We abide in the vine, but the Lord told us, you did not choose me. I chose you. And I set you that you should go forth to bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that the Father may be glorified. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the Lord's move. Amen. Okay, amen. Your turn, huh?